The Pentagon's third offset strategy is a way of restoring the competitive edge of U.S. military that it's had for decades, but DoD leadership might be going about it all the wrong way, seeking technology that's divorced from real-world warfighting needs. Dr. Dan Garay is vice president at military think tank Lexington Institute. He joins me with why one of the armed services is doing a better job at pursuing an offset strategy. Dan, good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
And so you have looked at the Marine Corps in particular and said that it's doing a better job maybe of getting its third offset strategy than DoD suits are. First of all, what's wrong with the way they're going about it at the Pentagon level?
Really, the Pentagon is looking too high up and too far away. Advanced technologies, robotics, autonomy, man-machine, connectivity, big data, all these wonderful fancy buzzwords. When the reality is that these offsets or advances in military technology have to be related to military capabilities, to the way militaries are organized and operate. There's a huge distinction between fancy widgets and what actually happens when the boom is lowered.
Because in the last offset strategy, the one they cite so often, it was technologies that were applied maybe to existing platforms like stealth because there were already airplanes. And so if you painted them differently and so forth, then they couldn't be seen. Is that kind of what you mean?
To a certain extent. What you find is you get new technologies that you give to existing units, the current soldiers, Marines, airmen and women. They play with them. They figure out things to do. They ask for changes. Then they test them and play with them in different ways. They create new concepts of operations. That then leads to actually new military organizations, in fact. And we've seen that happen over and over again. It's not just the technologies. It's the people, the organizations, and the way you use them. And you can get a lot more out of small changes in technology with clever adaptation that empowers military forces than you can with gee whiz, ultra, you know, high-speed stuff that is difficult to use, complex for the soldiers, or cost an arm and a leg.
And so far, all of these trips to Silicon Valley and the DIUX and so forth hasn't really come up with anything concrete yet, correct?
Nothing so much really concrete, a few things, and nothing decisive. Nothing that you can really say is, boy, I'm getting a real extra bang for my buck, if you want to call it that, out of making this change.
All right, so let's go to the Marine Corps, and you have cited in your latest blog several initiatives they have going to bring real offset strategy to technologies and platforms that are already operating. Let's talk about the Osprey.
Sure, the great thing. I mean, remember all the negative things about the V-22 Osprey? The Marines have using it in Iraq and Afghanistan now for years. It is tremendous. It gives you extreme range, so you can now reach out extremely far to conduct operations in the dark. You can refuel it off of the Marine Corps KC-130 tankers. So we're now operating them out of bases in the Mediterranean and reaching into basically the middle of Africa. So new aircraft, using them in kind of an older fashioned way as transport, teaming them up with tankers, and suddenly you're dropping Marines halfway across the continent. The next step in this, so they're now designing forces, they call them Special Purpose MAGTAF, Marine Air Ground Task Force, that they don't even operate off of ships. They operate them off of land bases to supplement that. That's technology, concepts of operations, new ways of doing business. And it is extending their reach fabulously. Next thing is they're going to arm the V-22. And then beyond that, they're figuring out how to get light vehicles, ultralight vehicles, that will be carried by these V-22s. So when the Marines land, you'll actually have land mobility. So you can see how this thing is just evolving, evolving, evolving.
And maybe one advantage to updating the Osprey in that way is that most of the development costs are sunk already.
That's right. I mean, you're not asking it to do everything. You're not piling on every gadget you've got on it. Better communications here, better night vision there. But you're really exploiting the unique features of it in ways to empower the unit that operate it, to give yourself additional operational and even strategic value. And that's the key to offset.
We're speaking with Dr. Dan Garay, vice president at the Lexington Institute. And you also cite a way in which the F-35, of all things, might become part of the Marine Corps offset.
Well, let's remember the Marine Corps has actually got operational with the F-35B, the STOVL, short takeoff, first landing version of it. They're the first service to actually have them up in operation. Air Force will have their version later this year. And the real key here is not simply the combat power, the ability to drop bombs or engage in air-to-air warfare, but it's to use these things as an invisible sensor in the air so that you can inform the rest of the battle group, the rest of the Marine attack force, the Navy with its carriers sitting offshore, what's going on the ground, in the air, in enemy airspace, and maneuver your forces accordingly. So in a sense, it's like having a God's eye view of the battlefield. It's like turning a battle space into an electronic war game where you see the enemy and they don't see you.
But if you had said, say, 15 years ago, what we'd like to have is a God's eye view in the sky to do all of these things, would you have started out by saying something like the F-35 is the ideal way to do it?
Absolutely not. We have invented a specialized set of platforms. In fact, we were trying to do it under Don Rumsfeld in the transformation strategy, trying to do it from space. We were going to have a space-based radar that was going to do this. We wouldn't need to do it with manned platforms. Here we are doing it with a tactical fighter. But it works. These airplanes are connected. They can not only see things, but they can pass data around. It is, in fact, exactly the way to do it. And you get all the multiplier effects of seeing the other guy. You know, I was told by Marine aviators that when they do exercises now, they don't send their regular airplane up against the F-35 in exercises because it's too demoralizing. It ends up, 15-0 casualty. And I've heard the same thing from the Air Force out at their test ranges. So you've got that aspect of it, which is transformational. You've got the information piece of it, which is transformational. There's an electronic warfare piece that is transformational. And you now take that and build it into your strategy. So that short-range F-35B may be the leading sensor for an entire Navy, Marine Corps, expeditionary attack force heading into the South China Sea.
And perhaps the next step in that particular platform is to send it up without a pilot.
Yeah, to send it up without a pilot. That's not beyond the realm of, or you mix it. You'll have it with a pilot, and he'll have the ability to control some very stealthy drones that will be out even farther ahead. And you'll mix it. It won't be a combat aircraft in the traditional sense. It will be a command and control and sensor node.
And let me ask you this, then. If these types of developments are obvious to you, and you can write about them, are they obvious to the Pentagon brass, and maybe they can take some of these lessons and bake them into their third offset the official third offset strategy?
Well, in fairness, I mean, it is no. It is recognized, certainly in the military, and to a certain extent within the Pentagon brass. The problem is that's sort of, in one sense, yesterday's news, except to people who don't watch this kind of stuff. They're looking for grand new ideas, grand new technologies. And, of course, that wasn't the way it came about the last time. I mean, it wasn't that somebody came running down the corridor of the Pentagon going, yelling stealth and waving a piece of paper and, the answer to all my problems. It was built piece by piece, program by program, weapon by weapon, GPS and sensors and all the rest, and build it effectively from the bottom up. And that's what you're seeing happen again.
As opposed to the what you call the alchemy approach, where they want to just conjure up something that is instant offset.
That's right. Instant offset and eureka. We have it. Well, if you go back and look at and remember the history of our first offset and second offset, the first being nuclear weapons, boy, did we go through a lot of angst. How do you build them? How do you launch them? How do you, keep it from blowing up the entire world? How big is enough? How do you secure weapons? On and on and on and on. And we're just at the first stage of trying to do that in this third offset. And it's not as much about technology as it is about people, organizations, and the way you use things.
Dr. Dan Garay is Vice President at the Military and Policy Think Tank Lexington Institute. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.